will resume pumping thick drilling mud into a leaking oil well later today, hoping to stop the flow of crude into the Gulf of Mexico. CEO Tony Hayward says they've had some success, but it's too soon to tell if the gusher can be stopped permanently.
We go back to pumping mud later today. I think it's probably 48 hours before we'll have a conclusive view of this.
President Obama's in Louisiana to get a first-hand look at the spill damage. He's expected to speak with reporters shortly. The BP spill in the Gulf is now considered the largest in U.S. history. National Wildlife Federation senior scientist Doug Inkley is dismayed by the lack of a comprehensive effort to protect the coast and the marshes.
When I came down here, what I expected to see was a beehive of activity, and what I'm seeing is very little activity. It almost seems like a ghost town.
Inkley says he's toured the region by air and boat and has seen only two cleanup crews. Attacks on two mosques in Pakistan killed at least 80 people Friday. In one attack, gunmen fired at the entrance to the building and threw hand grenades. In the other, a witness says attackers used AK-47s. Americans had a little more in their pay envelopes in April. The Commerce Department reports personal income rose 0.4%. Economist Robert Bruska says this is a sign of better things to come.
I think we're going to see the jobs pick up. We get a big jobs report next week, and I think we're going to see continued job growth. And as people go back to work, I think the spending is going to begin to ramp up.
While income rose, personal spending was flat after six straight months of increases. Stocks are headed lower leading into the holiday weekend. The Dow Industrial Average is down about 95 points so far today. A spokesman for Different Strokes star Gary Coleman says the actor is on life support at a hospital in Provo, Utah. The spokesman says Coleman is suffering from bleeding on the brain. Coleman became ill on Wednesday night. He's 42 years old. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
It's about having fun and getting projects done.
So we went to Lowe's and met Bill Sweet Price Mobley.
It's just Bill.
Just Bill?
Well, I did mention 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more on your Lowe's consumer credit card and get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Those are two very sweet prices.
Hence Bill Sweet Price Mobley.
Okay.
Experience. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Discount taken to register. Offers valid 5/27/10 to 5/31/10. See store for details. Valid in U.S. only.
Sometimes, when I'm telling people about all the ways they could save money on their car insurance by switching to GEICO, I start to get carried away. I'll get to the part about multi-car discounts, good driver discounts, discounts for cars with airbags or anti-lock brakes, and suddenly I'll realise that I haven't even been talking. I'm just daydreaming about savings, and then we're just left with these awkward pauses.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
If you've got $43,000 that isn't doing anything, Uncle Sam could sure use it. This is Federal News Radio, Senior Correspondent Mike Causey. I'm the first to admit math is not my strong point, not even close. But some very smart people have figured out that if everybody in the country, every man, woman, and child, were to send the Treasury Department's Bureau of Public Debt a check for $43,000, we could pay off the national debt in no time. Then Congress could start spending all over again with a clean slate. It's already possible to kick into debt reduction, and people do it every year. Some give as little as a symbolic penny. One woman gave the government more than $3 million. But there has to be another way, and a clever federal worker has figured it out. Maybe. Add a debt reduction category to the combined federal campaign charity drive. It's the nation's biggest fundraiser. So is she kidding or is this serious? And how would it work? Check out my column, Mike Causey's Federal Report, at federalnewsradio.com.
Hey, all right. It's the Geico Gecko here, and I've got a special message for all you government employees listening out there. So all you non-government people can go and make yourself a sandwich or whatever. Okay. Have they gone? Right. So here's the big news. As a government employee, you could qualify for a federal employee discount on car insurance. And that's on top of GEICO's already low rates. In other words, my friend, you could be the or more, and you could save 15% or more. And you'd be in good company, too. On average, federal employees who are GEICO customers stay GEICO customers for 12 years or more. And that's either because they like geckos or they like saving money. Well, maybe a little of both.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Hey everyone, this is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, then I've got some good news for you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com and see how much you could save.
Is telework a goal or a reality for your organization? Learn what you and your agency need to know at the Telework Center on federalnewsradio.com, keyword telework, sponsored by Tanberg.
In depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Friday, May 28th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. There will be a best of in-depth on Monday, so this is my opportunity to say that Memorial Day weekend is not a weekend for buying mattresses necessarily or saving money on home improvement or anything like that. It is a weekend to remember and reflect on people who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And to those of you still in service to our country, both on the civilian side and in the uniform side, thank you for your service to our country. And I hope that you have some reflective and remembering time on Monday to do that very thing. Thank you for listening to the program today. And normally on Fridays in the 2 o'clock hour, we do the Federal News Countdown, where I invite people from the federal world to come in and count down the three most important news stories of the week according to their selection. We're doing a little bit different thing today. So the bad news is no Federal News Countdown. The good news is that I have a show that I think will be worth skipping the Federal News Countdown for. I am happy to welcome a regular guest on the show, former eGov Administrator Karen Evans. It's nice to see you again. You look terrific. Glad to have you in studio again.
Well, thank you for inviting me back, Francis. It's always fun.
Happy to do it. And also in studio with me is a person who I've been happy to have on before, and I'm glad to welcome back her predecessor in the job of eGov Administrator, the only other person to hold that job, Mark Foreman, now with KPMG. Mark, great to see you again. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of some of the things that we've discussed, I do want to mention, I was talking to Mark before you got here, Karen, that, and you had mentioned this earlier, that since you retired from government, this is the first kind of public appearance that you guys have done together, I think. Is that right?
Well, we've seen each other, but I guess right. We haven't really talked about issues together, so this will be fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Mark said that you participate in the CIO SAGE program that I guess now is under the purvey of the Partnership for Public Service.
That's right.
And that's cool. That I think that's neat that you're both involved with that. So it will be really exciting, I think, to hear what you have to say on a number of the issues that IT people in the government are dealing with. The biggest one, of course, is cybersecurity and the issues revolving around that. And I think one of the major stories that we've heard recently is what Jerry Davis is doing at NASA. Essentially, the microcosm of the story that we'll have linked up at federalnewsradio.com later this afternoon is that he's pretty much saying, in lieu of revisions to FISMA, we're just going to adopt our own process, and rather than going through what he's called and others have called the checking of the boxes, we're going to make sure that our networks are secure and weave security into the way that we do IT. What did you think of this, Karen, when you first read about this and heard about what he's doing at NASA?
Well, I think it's great that they're not doing the check-the-box mentality. I think that they need to realize, and everyone needs to realize, that FISMA, as it stands now, is still on the books, and there's nothing that precludes people from getting away from checklists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's great that he's going about doing this. I'm always a little hesitant because I always get into these big debates about, is certification and accreditation the right process? And I know that's a big taboo word now. I've been through several different presentations where they're not using that word anymore, and it's the risk management framework that's going forward that NIST is working on. But FISMA has always been about risk-based approach, and so if we get to the goal of managing the risk on federal information infrastructure, then I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what we call it as long as we manage it appropriately.
Do you think he's going about this the right way, Mark, by trying to get at least to the crux of the problem rather than the steps in between?
My fear is that we're getting at the crux of the symptom as opposed to the crux of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issue here, you have to understand the genesis of FISMA. Back in 2000, 2001 was the first calculation of how secure we were. Very few of the applications had security built in.
Mm-hmm.
So the real issue is, long term, how do we get the development community, whether it's the federal or it's the commercial, to build in good security practices, good applications controls, and then obviously secure the network at the front end? We know it's always more expensive to do it at the back end, but we also know we had to go through several years of securing the applications that were running the missions, the finances, the transactions of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've been through that. So I think what Mr. Davis is saying, time to move on. I think what John Streifert's done at the State Department is really exciting, because he's said now that we not only can move on, we know these applications will continue to evolve. We haven't gotten the security practices right to build them in at the front end. So let's adopt a continuous auditing, continuous monitoring, risk-based approach and prioritize our problems as they arise on a daily, hourly basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to me.
Karen, you're nodding your head when Mark's talking about what's going on at the State Department. Give us a thumbnail of that.
What John has done is really apply performance metrics into a risk-based profile for, and it's, you know, we've always talked about it, but what if you go to the State Department, and they're very proud of their work, and they should be,
mm-hmm.
is that he really has it running now on a dashboard. And so anybody can see it on a daily basis, hourly basis, you can bring it up. And now a lot of the things that we used to talk about trying to get done, like the measurement of risk, or if I make this decision, what would the cost or the impact be? State Department has a mechanism now where they can actually do that, and they can now show, well, the money that we were spending over here, we're going to apply over here, and we can measure the risk of how we're reducing it, or if we don't take that action, how it's going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty mature in what they're doing, and what they're trying to do now is kind of box it up so that other agencies can then emulate what they've done, and they're sharing a lot of their best practices across the board. So it is a very exciting, that is a very exciting practice that's in
that,
place.
That plug-in, so, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so what I would have liked to have seen in Mr. Davis's memo is some discussion of Nebula,
mm-hmm.
because that is a platform as a service model. That's supposed to be an applications development environment. And so, you know, you can't go to sleep because we secured the legacy apps.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get the mentality and the applications development community to really focus on building in security at the front end. So they've got a great opportunity with Nebula and some of the other platform as a service models at NASA. So I think that deserves as much focus
mm-hmm.
as moving to the risk base. All right, we've secured the apps, time to move on paradigm.
Jill Itoro in NextGov writes that Jerry Davis added he felt he had the backing of the Obama administration to make the changes based on new security requirements. OMB released April 21st, directing agencies to continuously report on their cybersecurity status. Experts applauded the guidance as a much-needed step in addressing flaws in FISMA. What do you think of that idea?
Well, it's the idea of the continuous monitoring, not to do the compliance type of approach. And a lot of it has to do with the monthly reports, with the plan of actions and milestones versus, okay, now they're going to get a data feed and really try to stay up on it. So I think that that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's how you approach it, for lack of a better term, it's whether you're just going to comply because Congress and OMB tells you to do something, or that you're really trying to achieve the results and manage what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, from this perspective, he's saying, okay, maybe the staff that I've had assigned doing the monthly reports that were required previously, I'm not going to have them do that anymore. I'm going to have people do other things. And of course, this administration's going to back that up because that's the right application of the resources.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think about that from the guidance perspective? You agree with what Karen's saying about the guidance, and then the implementation. Do you think what Jerry's doing connects with the guidance?
You know, there's an underlying theme that I'm looking for the shift, and quite frankly, I haven't seen it in a lot of these areas. Most of the people who complain about compliance would complain about it, whether it was security, the Exhibit 300s, some congressional reporting requirement. It's very difficult to control in good management mm-hmm. practices through compliance type activities. We needed that independent review when GSRA turned into FISMA. I think that was pretty well recognized that there had to be the independent review. And so there was pretty onerous compliance activity. But, you know, at the end of the day, you'd like to see people saying, I don't need to do compliance anymore because I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what I'm supposed to be doing in securing my infrastructure, securing my environment, my applications, that people in their day-to-day work take ownership for security.
How far off from that do you think we are, though? Is this a step in the right direction there, or is this kind of an aberration, do you think, at this point?
I agree with everything that Mark is saying, is that there's always going to be this, it's a management function, and whether you really understand what you're responsible for. So if there was a metric that you could measure with what Mark just said, that's the metric that needs to be out there, not all these other things, because if you really don't understand what your responsibilities are mm-hmm. in a job, then you're going to be complying. And there are going to be a group of agencies that are always going to be looking for where is the list so that I can make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, versus a group of leaders that say, okay, what do I want to accomplish and mm-hmm. how am I going to measure this?
Mm-hmm.
And so this really gets, I mean, all the times that I've testified on the Hill, all the times that Mark testified on the Hill on this particular topic, I always turned to GAO and said, great. You know, I'm all for it. Let's change the compliance mentality, check the box mentality to results. You tell me what metric we should be measuring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for GAO to tell me what that metric is, because we're talking about good management and understanding what your job is.
Uh-huh. So we're talking about then it's another between the ears issue, and it's people deciding we're going to manage for the end result and not do what somebody tells us to do. Do I have it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me to see how the shared services movement has played out around security in the commercial world. These concepts like SAS 70s, where you have independent reviews of shared services centers that perform financial transactions. We're moving more and more to IT as a service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the elements people are going to be buying is security. You know, organizations like AVIEW, I haven't talked to them, I don't know, but I've heard from multiple people, when they go in to sell their software as a service, they start with security and selling the fact that they protect information. And that's the type of shift I think we're seeing in the commercial economy. I know it's going to come into government. I know it's already there in some aspects of government. But, you know, that all means we're moving away from that checklist, but we're not moving away from an independent control type or an independent verification. And like Karen says, that's a standard element of our management practices, that you want some independent verification. You just don't trust everything that you're sold.
Yeah.
As we move to IT as a service, I think we're going to see more of that independent verification, but people also focusing on selling on security.
All right. One of the things I want to talk about later on in the show is some of the other IT priorities that it seems to me are getting buried behind underneath cybersecurity. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Certainly is important, but there are some other priorities out there, too. I imagine that each of you have some opinions about that, and we'll get into that later on in the program. But a little bit more when we continue on cybersecurity with Karen Evans and Mark Foreman on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
The Transportation Security Administration's Data Center Consolidation Initiative is just one part to a broader technology upgrade. Emma Garrison-Alexander is the TSA Chief Information Officer.
In addition to moving to the data center, we are looking at modernizing our infrastructure as well. And so that is the area where we will be soliciting additional contractual help, is to be able to do some of the modernization efforts as a part of this bigger data center migration effort.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
After days of promotion and preparation, the Obama administration has released its national security strategy. The document identifies what the administration calls four enduring U.S. national interests. One, the security of the U.S., its citizens and its allies and partners. Two, a strong, innovative, and growing U.S. economy that promotes opportunity and prosperity. Three, respect for universal values at home and abroad. And four, more international cooperation to meet global challenges. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel by air from one location to another? Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. Airink understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, Airink has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Friday edition of the Dorabeck Insider. As you head into your Memorial Day weekend, we're going to talk to two winners of our COSY Award. One found a way to attract new workers. The other created a blog to highlight successes. You are going to meet them both. And the head of Interiors, Minerals Management, fired. What does it all mean? We'll talk to the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests for the entire two-hour show today, Karen Evans and Mark Forman, former eGov administrators, and we've been talking about cybersecurity, and we've got to go to break again here just in a few minutes, but I wanted to get your thoughts as we do that about kind of an overall grade of how we're doing at what Mark was talking about, which is understanding as we're moving forward that we're supposed to be integrating cybersecurity into what we're doing from the beginning instead of tacking it on at the end, as has been what some people have been saying has been happening. Karen, how are we doing on that?
Do you think? I have to give a grade going first?
Yeah, 1 to 100 grade.
1 to 100?
1 to 100, yeah.
See, so I'll be politically correct and say
no,
50.
No, you can 50. Be, you can be candid. You owe your allegiance to no one.
I know I don't, but there are a lot of people that really do get it. But if I had a look at the institution across the board, I would still say it's like 50-50. Mm-hmm. Because if we were doing it right, if people really had it in mind going forward, then I don't know that we would necessarily see some of the reoccurrences of the same types of things mm-hmm. that we still see. And Mark is absolutely right. It has to be done up front when you're engineering a system or any kind of service.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you think? How are we doing? 1 to 100.
Yeah, I don't really have the data to grade it, and I'd like to do these things based on data.
I know, and that's fair, but just your opinion is fine.
Well, look, I don't know if I really can't give a grade. I don't know if we just hear it from the most vocal people or if the fact is that IT security is still so expensive because we're not building it in at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of statistical analysis to figure out the security policies when we first got the data in around GISRA. And there's no question, it is cheaper to build security in at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly cheaper.
All right.
And if it's cheaper, I wouldn't see everybody complaining about the expense.
Okay. All right. Good point. And we'll continue our conversation with Mark Forman and Karen Evans when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are down as the markets get ready to close out their worst month in more than a year. The Dow's down 100 points, the Nasdaq lower by 24. Some lackluster economic data not helping the markets. The Commerce Department says consumer spending was unchanged in April, while incomes rose just slightly. Today's numbers are giving economists signs the economic recovery could be slow. And consumer sentiment rose slightly in May from April, but it remains relatively unchanged from levels since February. The final reading of the Thomson Reuters University of Michigan survey of consumers also shows the one-year inflation expectations climbed. If you're planning on doing some driving this Memorial Day weekend, you'll be happy to know pump prices are lower. AAA says the national average is at $2.74 a gallon. That's 12 cents cheaper than it was a month ago. Chris Maurer, CNBC, Business Radio.
With most CDs, it's hard to know when to lock in your rate. But there's no need to worry with the 2-year Raise Your Rate CD from Ally Bank. If rates go up, you have the opportunity of a one-time rate increase. And with an interest rate that's among the most competitive in the country, there's never been a better time to give us a try. Open an account today. Call us at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Society Bakery's Roshi Muns.
I started making cakes out of my house. Today, we have 2 retail bakeries and we ship nationwide. It took a lot of passion, a lot of hard work, a little bit of craziness, and a membership to Sam's Club.
Now, get a 15-week Sam's Club business membership for just $15. Join May 15th through June 6th and save on everything your business needs to succeed at members-only prices. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. 15 weeks of savings, just $15.
Piece of cake.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Summer may be the time for hitting the trail or rafting the gorge, but before heading out, the National Park Service is encouraging visitors to spend at least a little time planning an itinerary, negotiating routes, and researching the environs of where they're going. And they have a new website to help out. The National Park Service's 2010 Summer Adventure Trip Planning website connects visitors to travel resources, events, and services at national parks across the country. The website links visitors to sites of interest, lodging, upcoming events, and tips to get the most out of the nation's parks. An interactive calendar makes it easier to search for special events by state or by park. Last year, more than 285 million people visited national parks. The website is at www.nps.gov.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit gdit.com to learn more.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. I'm just getting ready for our summer vacation.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm a little worried about recent crime stories I've heard and whether or not the house will be safe.
I felt that way, too, until we switched to Ackerman Security Systems.
Ackerman?
Yeah, not only is it one of the largest security companies in the country with more than 40 years' experience, but when you switch to Ackerman, you pay just $18.95 a month.
$18.95?
That's right. Also, there's no cost to switch, and you can use your existing equipment. Turns out peace of mind can come at a reasonable price.
Whether you want a new system with the latest technology or you want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 1-888-999-1070. That's 1-888-999-1070. Or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Join the more than 180,000 people who enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. And as an added bonus for federal employees, when you make the switch, the first 4 months of your home monitoring service are free.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hi, I'm Rynthia Rost from GEICO. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington have been in our community more than 80 years. To ensure that the youth of today will be full partners in a better tomorrow, give a child the gift of a membership for 2010. And while you're at it, reach out and volunteer to mentor a child in your community. Go to www.bgcgw.org and tell them the GEICO sent you. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests are Mark Forman and Karen Evans, and I apologize to you, the listener, that I couldn't get anybody more knowledgeable or important when it comes to federal IT than Mark Forman and Karen Evans to be on the show today. But I'm grateful for your time, both of you, and you both know that I'm just teasing you about that. I really appreciate you being here today. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the report by Melissa Hathaway, and everybody knows her credentials, about the various pieces of legislation that are bumping around on Capitol Hill about cybersecurity. My amateur count was 917 pieces of legislation, but that may be overstating it a little bit. I may be exaggerating. There is a lot of material being discussed about cyber legislatively on Capitol Hill, and Ms. Hathaway has conducted this report. It's going to be available. It's available on our website now, and I'm going to get it linked up on the in-depth page later this afternoon, so all these resources are in one place for you. It's called Cybersecurity, the U.S. Legislative Agenda, and she essentially profiles and analyzes each of the bills that are being discussed and worked on Capitol Hill. One of the issues that you have each talked to me individually about and other CIOs have told me about is the idea that legislation many times is obsolete by the time it's passed, especially over the last several years because of how the timeline on technology is truncating. So I'm curious to get your thoughts about whether I don't think anybody disagrees that this legislation, all of these pieces of legislation, address the challenges that we're dealing with today. The issue is these laws are probably going to be on the books for 10 to 15 years before somebody comes back to revisit them. And I'm curious to see how each of you think that they're doing as far as addressing where IT is headed in the government and in the country as a whole over that 10 to 15 year period. Mark, I'll start with you.
Well, you know, we go back to the Computer Security Act of 1987, uh-huh. right? That nobody quite remembers. It did have privacy protections in it, but I do think that as the technology has changed, the data breach legislation is probably a given. That the protection of PII is a critical element to so many people. You know, I think California had the inroads legislation, and as we've discussed, what company is not going to operate in California, right? So I think that's a key one. But looking towards the future, we are in a major technology disruption around cloud computing, and that's being driven by virtualization, reuse, multi-tenancy, all these kind of concepts where you get tremendous advantage of economies of scale, but it brings back certain legacy computer security issues, mm-hmm. like how do you protect the data, how do you set up the boundaries, and it brings back what we were talking about even with FISMA. How do we get the IT community, whether it's government or commercial, to build secure applications, secure web services, these secure cloud computing environments? Is it a platform approach or not? So you look at the legislation, and you're looking for some standard things. Back in the 90s when we were working on this around network security, EDI, in the early days of the internet, We were looking at how do you make incentives work.
Mm-hmm.
The breach notification, I think, here is relatively instructive. It transparency. You need transparency on this to make the incentives work. And that's not intuitive and not the way a lot of companies work. You need some indemnification approach or some way to get the accountability. But at the end of the day, one of the things that maybe is not so popular, not so sexy in this legislation, but it's there in some of them, is getting the people we're training as applications developers or now with so much and so many engineering tools making it easy to do applications, building security in at the front end of those applications, those web services developments. You know, that's one of the things, again, I'd like to see more emphasis on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Karen?
Well, there's a couple pieces in here. I agree with everything that Mark is talking about, because I think it's all a given that the breach is going to go. But there's a couple other things in here, and there's a couple other concepts that I think are important for us to make sure that they do go. And there's several pieces of legislation dealing with research and development, so that I think, to Mark's point about getting the applications, getting the tools, and getting things in there, that those really need to go too. Because research and development is something that's important, especially in this field, to make sure that we can keep our lead here and that we have the tools that we need that to do the things that Mark's talking about. And there's a couple other things in here that are feel good but mm-hmm. are really, really important, which are the workforce ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mark's been touching on this about software application developers and things like that. Well, we also have to deal with the education. I think our education programs need to evolve a little bit more, and we need to invest more in the education programs so that when they come out and come into service or go into the private industry, that part of their curriculum is understanding the impact that they have in this ecosystem, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
When you go forward, that their actions cause a huge ripple effect in this networked world. And so they need to, if we want to keep the cost down, then they have to be aware of what the implications of those are as they develop new services.
Is there one of these pieces of legislation or something else that's out there that jumped out at you as being especially significant or important above and beyond what you're talking about there?
There's a couple pieces of legislation, both out of the House and the Senate, that are dealing with research and development and workforce issues. There's one out of the House. Is it Commerce, Science, and Technology Committee that talks specifically about research and development and redoing the scholarship for services types mm-hmm. of activities that yeah. NIST and the National Science Foundation has. One of the challenges with all these pieces of legislation, and I think the reason why you see so many, is because the Hill and its jurisdiction and who they have purview over, they're all jumping into the cybersecurity area, and so they overlap a lot. And I know for a fact, like on the Senate side, they've been told for a while that they've got to combine them all. There's not going to be so many of them going out. And so now it's kind of like a mini omnibus cybersecurity bill
yeah.
that could potentially come out.
One of the things that people are saying to me kind of off the record, Mark, is that the fear is that cybersecurity, because it's becoming popular on Capitol Hill, at least jurisdictionally, will come to look like Homeland Security, or at the Department of Homeland Security, in that there are, I think the last count that I heard was 118 committees and subcommittees have jurisdiction over DHS, and that there's going to be pieces of jurisdiction over cybersecurity spread so thin on the Hill that it will be difficult. The agencies at some point will start to feel paralyzed because you're not going to know who you're going to have to report to or justify your actions to at some point.
You know, that could very well be. And then, of course, we'll have to go through a rationalization process like we did with the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act back in the 90s. And gosh, that's a good 15-year process. I hope that's not the case, but history does have examples of that in the yeah. past. You know, the problem, though, isn't as simple as it was back in the days of the Computer Security Act or even when GISRA and then FISMA were passed. It's different if you're going to do cyber defense than if you're going to secure the federal applications, or if you're going to provide for security to be built in through the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So Let me lay out another scenario. You know, Don Tapscott used to say that the thing about the internet is it's no longer controlled by boundaries of geography. And I think that's very true here. But I think there's a case to be made that the people who do build secure web services or cloud services, if you will, can get economic gains in the marketplace. And it may play out that that's going to be similar to what we saw in the first part of the last decade or over the last 10 years with things moving into India and other low-cost sources of IT talent. May not even be legislated. I'm fascinated by the implications that FedRAMP, you know, the process for securing the web services that the federal or the cloud services that the federal agency is going to buy. So let's assume that we buy commercial transactions processing services, and the companies like Salesforce and Amazon, Google, Microsoft, the companies building and investing in web services and cloud apps, put those through the FedRAMP type standards. And now all of a sudden we have almost like a catalytic effect where companies know if they go to the application that's being bought by the federal government, it's a secure application or secure cloud source. The implications of that are huge. It can move much faster than any legislative approach. And I think at the end of the day, we are talking about the implications for the economy and for American society. So, you know, as much as we're watching over 100 bills, I'm also watching FedRAMP. Mm-hmm. I think that's just as exciting, if not more.
All right. Mark Forman is the first eGov administrator in the federal government, my guest for the hour, along with his successor, Karen Evans, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and our conversation continues in a moment.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away. Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future. Newsmakers talk to Jason Miller.
Matt Coos, the director of Federal Network Security at the Homeland Security Department, Patch Management. What's the deal? Why is it so hard?
You're looking at pretty large numbers of assets, and I don't think a lot of folks have a good grasp on what they have, for one. You got a lot of different, you know, OS types and applications out there, so you've got to keep track of a lot of different patch releases, and you've got the testing cycles, which may or may not be very mature in different organizations, and that can take some time. But that's really why the automation piece is so key.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeckInsider.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and my guests for the entire program today, former eGov administrators Karen Evans and Mark Foreman. And Karen, during the break, you were talking about implementing the kinds of things we were just discussing and how it's going in other countries. And I think that's instructive for people here to get a sense of how other countries are using tools, as you said, that were developed here and that maybe other countries are having a little more success with than we are.
Well, so Mark and I were talking, you should be taping this stuff in between.
I know, I say that all the time.
Great consulting work that's going on right now here between the two.
Well, maybe I shouldn't tape it because then you can't charge people for it.
Well, that's true. This is true. But so we were talking a lot about the standard desktop configuration, which is actually under the NIST program, the SCAP program. Mm-hmm. And they now have rolled out several other standard configurations along with Linux and a couple other things, Apple. And what's happening is because that's with NIST and it's published, a lot of other countries are adopting the standard practices and the standard configuration because the virtual machines, everything are out there. Mm-hmm. So they can download all of that. And I know that for a fact, several countries have adopted the standard desktop configuration that was previously developed. And they're doing it because the cost of ownership is reduced for them. And it's easier to do configuration management and application development and then putting this into your contracts and things like that. And mm-hmm. vendors are developing to that standard operating set of configurations, and it ends up total cost of ownership gets reduced so that you can then buy even more services because right. you're controlling and doing a lot. It's a really good case study for what Mark's been talking about building the security in up front because mm-hmm. it reduces your overall operating costs in the long run. And then you can do other things. So there are several countries that have developed and adopted what we developed. Along with like HSPD 12, that's another one, the technical specs and the implementation and everything that we've done here. A lot of countries are deploying those technical specs and looking at the business practices and everything because they're all out on this. And, you know, we did the hard part of arguing it all out. It's just where you have to tweak it a little bit for your own business mm-hmm. process and then making sure everybody agrees what you've done.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is interesting when I talk to people with different agencies is to hear about the exceptions that they want.
That's right.
In the FDCC. We applied for this exemption or exception or whatever, which seems to me to run counter to the whole idea of the thing in the first place. Right, Mark?
Yeah, I was going to say the number one exception is the system administration rights because they want to be able to have it easier to have access to the desktops, which is the number one vulnerability associated right. with security.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's that trade-off, but I would argue that we're still better off because they at least now know what applications use that type of setting so that they have to go in and ask, which means now you have to put in a compensating control for every waiver that you ask, which there's a cost. So if there's, you know, over 400 settings and you've asked for 150 waivers, you have to have 150 compensating controls and then manage those controls every time a patch, every time a new application, something comes up. There's a cost for that.
Yeah. And I wonder how often the cost is worth it. I mean,
well,
I guess it depends what you're doing.
Right. From an agency perspective, you always want to do things that you want to do. As you move up from the office to the bureau level to the department level and government-wide, you see aggregations of costs that just don't seem to make sense. Now, any one agency, it makes sense to them because it's the way they've always done business or the way they want to do business. But when you aggregate it, you realize how much you're losing because you're not taking advantage of economies of scale and mm-hmm. leverage.
Yeah.
Companies have long recognized for standard commoditized items like desktop configurations, there are huge cost savings. Now, in the federal government, you're talking about a couple million desktops and laptops, you know, that. So you save $50, $100 per seat, you're saving hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really talking more in the order of a couple thousand, 3,000 or 4,000. You know, the benchmarks are very clear. When we looked at this first, I think it was 2002, the average per desk costs came in at somewhere around 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the public sector standard was somewhere around 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
The banking industry standard was somewhere around 9,000. You know, and you look at all these industries that you'd say it wouldn't make sense for them to have a more commoditized use of the desktop than us. But, you know, you're looking at virtualization, you're looking at so many technologies that are driving you to leverage now and to take advantage of standardization. So that push has to come from the top. It's just strictly a point of view. You see things in OMB that are points of leverage that no one agency sees. And every agency wants to define their own thing, you know, and I understand that, but they don't have the view of the cost trade-offs or the security trade-offs or the other advantages of economies of scale. That's the job of OMB.
There are a lot of other issues in the IT world right now other than cybersecurity, and I want to explore those when we get into hour number two of the program, which we'll do about 10 minutes from now. In the meantime, though, I want to wrap up our discussion on cybersecurity with Karen Evans and Mark Forman when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
After days of promotion and preparation, the Obama administration has released its national security strategy. The document identifies what the administration calls four enduring U.S. national interests. One, the security of the U.S., its citizens and its allies and partners. Two, a strong, innovative, and growing U.S. economy that promotes opportunity and prosperity. Three, respect for universal values at home and abroad. And four, more international cooperation to meet global challenges. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel by air from one location to another? Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. Arink understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, Arink has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Morning stretches, biking to work, quick walks at lunch, shopping at the farmer's market, getting all your antioxidants, flavonoids, and omega-3s while staying properly hydrated. Oh, and don't forget 8 hours of good sleep. Trying to live a healthy lifestyle doesn't leave a lot of time for managing your health care. That's why Kaiser Permanente offers members My Health Manager, an online tool you can use to proactively manage health care for you and your family members. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a question for your doctor? Email your doctor's office and get a response. Make, cancel, or reschedule routine appointments. Get test results, check recent immunization records, view most of your medical history, and order prescription refills. All in a secure environment, all at your convenience, all so you have more time to thrive. To learn more about My Health Manager, visit kp.org. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Listen next week for Leaders Speak, a special Memorial Day edition of the Business of Government Hour, bringing you past and current government leaders and their advice on leadership and public service. What makes an effective leader? Why pursue a career in public service? Guests, including such leaders as Admiral Thad Allen, Dr. Anthony Fauci, former Governor Tim Kaine, and Dave Wennergren, will offer their extended reflections on leadership and public service. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Wondering if you've chosen the wrong push-to-talk provider for your mission? Well, it's never too late to switch to Verizon. With the push-to-talk-capable BlackBerry Tor and America's largest push-to-talk coverage area, Verizon delivers the instant mobile voice connectivity and real-time data access your mission deserves, all on a device your people can depend on. To learn how you can put your mission on the map, call 1-800-561-6227 or visit verizonwireless.com/gov.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests, Karen Evans and Mark Forman, in studio for the entire program today. And I said something that may have been a little bit inaccurate before. We're going to wrap up, I think, the emphasis on cybersecurity in our discussion. Cybersecurity is so pervasive in IT issues that I imagine we'll hit on it from time to time in hour number two. But our focus on it in this hour is what we're going to wrap up in this segment. And Karen, I guess what I would be thinking about, or the question I might have if I'm sitting in an agency and listening to this discussion about these legislation that's included in Melissa Hathaway's report, is which of these am I going to have to deal with first? What's the next big thing that's coming regulatory-wise, legislatively, that I'm going to have to deal with?
So Mark is our resident Hill expert here. And if you looked at the history of, for example, when FISMA and eGov passed, it's in the December time period, right? And most of the time, it's after the big appropriations and authorizations and things like that go through. And then they say, okay, the session's going to end and we'll put these other ones together. So in my view, and Mark can jump in here too, is the amendments and the changes that you're seeing now being vetted through in the defense authorization bill, those are the ones that I would take a look at.
Rather than the stuff that's in here?
Because these are all great, but the one bill that always makes it through is the defense authorization bill, mm-hmm. and then the defense appropriation bill. Those two bills always make it through, and there's a whole series of amendments that are being attached to that bill right now. And if people think, oh, you're not really looking at those because you look at the bigger issues on the defense authorization bill, there'll be amendments that'll go through that'll impact them.
All right, resident Hill expert, does she have it right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way this is working with cybersecurity is the more popularized the issues become, the more people jump on board and they want to get on board. You know, even going back to the Cleaner Cone Act, which really was the Cone, Levin, Roth, Glenn, more so than some of the other folks on the House side. But that also passed that way. It was attached to the defense bill. And the reason it moved forward so well was because of a Veterans Affairs issue that resonated with every congressional office. The issue was that the Veterans Affairs Department had applied technology thinking they were going to get things moving faster, but technology has to be applied with reengineering to take advantage of the technology. And if you don't queues build up such that a lot of veterans were calling every congressional office had to have a staffer focusing on it. So the issue resonated with all the members of Congress. And that's the type of thing that we'll see cohesiveness around.
Mark Forman, my guest for hour number one and leading into hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose, along with Karen Evans, both former eGov administrators, of course. And one of the things that people are telling me is that all the discussion about cybersecurity is very important, but it's kind of sucking all the oxygen out of the IT room when it comes to the federal government. So we'll dig into that concept in hour number two when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Don't be surprised by the latest changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
Here's Harry J. Foxwell, Principal Consultant, Oracle Corporation, on Virtually There, the Federal View of Virtualization, Present and Future, sponsored by GTSI and Oracle.
It's really about workload management, how you allocate resources among the various environments that are running your applications. Virtualization allows you to consolidate multiple application environments on a shared server and then very, very flexibly reallocate resources to them as needed.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
There's one thing that IT analysts agree on. Consolidation can significantly save IT cost for your agency, up to 50% depending on your application environment. Discover how much you can save with a consolidation solution from GTSI and Oracle. GTSI, one mission, yours. For more information, visit gtsi.com.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
CNN Radio.